your hearts and receive the word from Pastor Michelle.
Thank you. Before everybody gets too comfortable, I would like Tina. You got a minute left in you. Can you come down? Brother Damon. Miss Jessica. Miss Jerry. Is she still in here? Brother Demetrius. I'm going to put y'all in order this time. We're going to do something that we have previously done and just make some declarations. Brother Damon, you number one. Jessica, number two. Make it a little easier. Tina, number three. Brother Demetrius, number four. Oh, that's number five. I was going to let you go put your backpack down if you wanted to. You good? Have backpack. We'll travel. God said when we began to do this, we did it on a Saturday night. We did it the following Sunday morning, that it was not a one-and-done thing. You may look around you and think, well, we're a small crowd. What can we do? Guess what? The word of God in your mouth is mighty. We do not need 1,000 people to accomplish God's will in the earth. Pastor Jim used to quote another man of God saying, it yet remains to be seen what one man fully submitted to God can do. Well, these people in this house tonight, I know, are submitted to God. So we're going to follow these people in some declarations. And I would like for you to stand, please. You got to sit for a few minutes and enjoy the beautiful music of KB and Jessica. Were you blessed? The love of God is an amazing thing. Amen. Praise God. So I just want you to participate with these folks, and you can just make your declarations and then pass the mic down, and we're going to accomplish some things. Amen.
Thank you, Father God, Lord God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, mighty God. We thank you, Father God. Lord God, right now in the authority that you've given us by our Redeemer, Father God, we come against and cast down every spirit of lawlessness, every spirit of anarchy, every spirit of confusion, every spirit of murder that may have arrayed itself in this nation, in this world, Father God. We condemn it by the name and the blood of our Redeemer, Lord God, and say it has no more place. It has no more place. We condemn it by the name and the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we say no more. No more. Cease and desist, you spirits of darkness. We curse you. We smite you with the blood of the Lamb. And we say your assignment is over. Your assignment in the earth is over. Is over. Right now we release the supernatural power of peace in the earth, Lord God. We call forth the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, Father God. In the body of Christ, Lord God, operating not only in the house, but out of the house, Lord God, demonstrating you in the earth, Father God, showing forth your manifest presence like never before in the earth. We say, men of God, sons of God, daughters of God, arise and walk in the fullness of the stature of the Son of God that abides on the inside of you. You are loose to walk in freedom. You are loose to walk in the authority of the saints of God that our Redeemer paid an awesome price for us to declare the freedom that belongs to the believer in Christ Jesus. So we loose that presence in the earth, Lord God, and call forth wisdom and revelation to flow, Lord God, that we will know how to operate in the store. We'll know how to operate wherever we might go, Lord God. We will operate and flow under your anointing, Lord God. And we call forth order. We call forth godliness. And we speak light, light and resurrection life in the earth, Lord God. We declare it. We celebrate you for it, Lord God. And we thank you that your hand is at work. Father God, you are raising up a standard in the earth, Lord God, and your people are that standard, Lord God. Thank you, sir.
Oh, la da da ba si di a lo no 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 son na 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 ma si di a la da da ba ka. Right now, we as a congregation curse and cast down COVID-19, all symptoms, all disease. You are cursed. You are under our feet. Jesus was broken. Jesus was chastised so that you cannot last any longer. Every spirit attached to COVID-19, we curse you right now by the name and the blood of Jesus. I curse down pandemic. No more. No more. You are no more. I curse against the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. I thank you, God, that your perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Fear, you have to go. Fear, you have to go. You are not of God. You are not of God. COVID-19, you are cursed. I thank you, Lord God, for your blood that was shed for our world, Father God. You loved the world so much that you gave your son to die for us. I curse death. I curse death. I curse all things that are unlike you, Lord God. Right now, I release the resurrection life of Jesus across our world, across every nation, across every city, across every hospital, across every household. I thank you, Father God, that the streets right now, you are releasing your anointing. Your healing anointing is going forth right now against COVID-19. Be every whit whole. Be every whit whole. No more. No more. I call for the resurrection life and health that belongs to us, that was bought on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I thank you that your resurrection life is inside of us, and we loose that. We release that resurrection life into this place, into this city, into this nation, across every nation, we call forth your resurrection life, Lord Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you for your authority. And right now, we cast down in our fellow believers, we cast down in the church apathy, lethargy, weariness, and hopelessness. We cast those spirits down in every believer, in every church. There is no more lethargy. There's no more hopelessness. There's no more defeatedness. There is no more seeing themselves lower than in your throne, than in your courts, than in your presence, Lord God. Father, right now I loose and I call forth encouragement, vision, life, zeal, strength, understanding the times, and the rising up, Father God, rising up and being bold as lions, Father God, being bold to stand for you, being bold to show forth your glory, to see ourselves high and lifted up in your presence and in your courts, to be bold to speak truth and to speak life in every situation, to no longer allow things to happen, but to make change and to make a difference, to be open vessels for you to work through and pour out of, Father God, that we bring life to every situation, that we bring hope to every heart, that we speak and bring restoration to every broken place, every fallen place, every hurting place. You are the answer, and we are the answerers, Father God. You speak through us, and we bring forth change in the earth because we are no longer apathetic. We are no longer hopeless. We are no longer defeated, but we are victorious by the Redeemer and his blood and his completed work. And we celebrate the hope of the kingdom right now, this day, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Angels, you who listen for the word of the Lord being spoken from authorized believers, we just declare right now, you are loose to go forth. You are loose to go forth, to pave paths, to prepare ways, to open doors for those that believe. And Father, for the purposes that God has intended in the earth, angels, you are destroying and laying waste works of darkness so that the light comes in, so that the light of God comes in, the light in the believers of God come in. You are loosed to bring order and establish God's purpose and open the doors for those that are his kids to come in and to lay his order in place. We just declare right now, you are loosed and you are authorized that life of God, that the will of God, that every single plan that every single purpose that God has intended in the earth is established. You are with the believers. You are with those that God has blessed. You protect, keep, and guard and open every door. Thank you.
We call on the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow, the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow, to fill this temple, to fill this temple, to fill this house, to fill the streets, to fill the city of Austin. We call on the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow, to breathe, God, to breathe, and to fill our lungs with the breath of God. The wind of the Holy Spirit blowing, blowing on the inside of us, blowing on the outside of us, blowing in the streets, blowing in the people, breathing the life of God into our lungs. And God breathed, and man became a living being. We speak life. We speak resurrection life. We speak breath into the people, the men, the women, the boys and girls across this city, across this state, across this nation, across the earth. The breath of God, the breath of God, the life of God, the life of God, the breath of God. And we speak to those dry bones. We prophesy to those dry bones, and we say, live. Rise up, dry bones. Live. Assemble, dry bones. Live. The sinew and the flesh comes upon us. The sinew and the flesh comes upon us. Rise up, dry bones. Rise up, dry bones. We call you living bones. We call you resurrected bones. The life of God is in you. The sinew, the flesh have come together, and the breath of God is filling you. Is filling you, is filling you. The breath of God is filling your body. The breath of God is filling your body. You are standing. You are no longer sitting down or lying down. You are standing because the breath of God has come. And Lord, we choose to do your will. We say, yes, Lord. We are standing with your breath on the inside of us. And we say, yes, Lord. We have assembled to do your will, oh God. We say, yes, Lord. We stand and we are ready to take the steps that you call us to take, to speak the word that you put into our mouths. We will say what you tell us to say. We will do what you tell us to do. We have been assembled for such a time as this. The purpose of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, the Spirit of God compels us to take our place and to let the fullness of God's purpose be accomplished in this city, in this state, in this nation, and throughout the world. Austin, Texas, I call you a city set apart unto the Most High God. Austin, Texas, I call you a city of God. Austin, Texas, I call you a city separated unto the purposes of God. You are no longer a city of weirdos. You are a city of the Most High God. God's will, plan, and purpose is being accomplished in you, in you, in you, and in each one of us. Thank you, Father.
Now let's give the Lord a shout of praise for what he is doing. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We exalt and magnify you, the Most High God, great and mighty God, doing mighty things in the earth, mighty things in the earth, mighty things in the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you that things are different right now. We thank you that things are different tomorrow and the day after, Father, because your people have chosen to take a stand and to rise up and to speak your will, plan, and purpose into the earth. Oh, we give you praise. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. Well, if you can be seated. Hallelujah. You could do that every day, you know, in your home. You can do it while you're sitting at a red light. You can do it just before you go to bed or when you get up or all of the above. And I challenge you to do that, that the declarations that we do would not just be something that you have to be prompted to do when we come together. You know, when we talk about the family and the body of Christ, when we talk about maturity, maturity means that you have grown to the point that you can take care of your stuff and then you can contribute to the good of the whole. Now, if the enemy can't get believers to quit believing in God, he will busy us with the things that we have to do so that we're not able to be a contributor to the whole purpose of God. We're at home trying to figure out how to look up and see daylight when God wants us to be bringing daylight into the darkness in the streets. Okay, so there's a lesson there. God, teach us how to come to that place where we're resting in you, as Brother Brian and Sister Tina talked about, and we are able to see beyond what we need and what's going on in our lives and contribute to the plan of God in the entire earth. Because you, yes, you, one person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. And if one can put 1,000 to flight, just imagine when we all rise up together. Legions of the enemy are fleeing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Our words have power. Our words have power in the earth. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Well, just a little bit of an update. Miss KK has made it back to Kenya. She had a little hiccup on the way. She had some issues in New York. New York, you know, they are their own little kingdom unto themselves up there sometimes. They didn't like the Texas COVID test. She had to have a New York COVID test before she could get on the airplane. So they delayed her a few days. And I am thankful to everyone who received my panicked phone calls of, do you know anybody in New York that can help? And praise God, he did. God knows a few people. Amen. And was able to connect her with some assistance and some help and somewhere to stay and somebody to take her to get a test and all of those wonderful things. And she made it home, and I've spoken with her. I spoke to her mom and some of the kids that were hanging around. It seems like every time I hear her on the phone, there's kids giggling in the background. That's what she's drawn to, and they are drawn to her. And so she is blessed and doing well. We have several places in Africa where we are currently ministering. We have, as they would say, boots on the ground. People who are doing things in three different places in Botswana, and now we have KK in Kenya. And when I messaged her, I don't know when it was, the times run together, but it was nighttime, her time, and they had just finished a Bible study that she had had. So she is conducting Bible studies with relatives and friends and neighbors and all those who will join her. And if you want to be a blessing to KK, if you want to be a blessing to any of the things that we are doing in Botswana, in Africa, KK is in Kenya, and then in Botswana, I encourage you to give. You can mark your giving either online or on your envelopes. You can put missions, you can put KK, you can put Kenya, you can put Botswana. However you want to do that. And I really, really appreciate all of you who continue to give, because we are making a difference over there and we are making a difference here. And the world is going to hear our voice beyond these walls and see what God has called us and raised us up to do. Amen. God is doing great, great things. Hallelujah. Well, I think I could probably just give the mic to Miss Tina and let her finish up. I don't know where she went, though. I guess I'll have to do it myself. But she started off, and I wondered if she had taken a look at my notes, because tonight we're going to talk about what you see. There she is. Okay, she's listening. She's with us. She's multitasking, probably. That girl does a lot. Praise God. But I appreciate her kicking it off for us and some of the things that Brother Brian talked about as well, about resting in the Lord, because that depends on what you see and how you see yourself. And so we're just going to talk about that for a few minutes. For some of you, this is going to be new information. I think for most of you, you've probably heard this in some form, but we're going to do what Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says, to pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. We need to be, as Paul often said, put in remembrance of things. You know, there are things that we know, but we forget that we can use them. And the enemy likes to figure out where we have sort of let some things slide, and then he'll bring a problem in right there. And we're just thinking, wow, I used to know how to deal with this. What's going on? I feel so under the load. And then you'll come to assembly, and Brother Brian or Brother Damon or Brother John, Brother Richard, Brother Ken, one of these fine people will put you in remembrance of the tools that you've been given and the way that you can stand against all the wiles, the attacks of the enemy. Amen? Because God has already made a way for victory. It's already there. He expects us to live in victory. He wants us to live in victory. Did you know that it is not irresponsible to be happy and overcoming and joyous all the time? There are some mindsets that think if you're not worrying that you're not taking care of business. And so we need the understanding that in order to know that business has already been taken care of by Jesus, and by giving it to him, I don't have to take care of it. We can live joyful and know that God is taking care of things. It is possible. It is not only possible, it is what Jesus told us to do. So should we not be about the business of learning how to do that? So we're going to talk tonight about what you see with your mind's eye. For the majority of folks, words create pictures. We don't usually think in words. We think in pictures, and then we use words to describe those pictures. Everybody with me? We see ourselves doing things in our mind's eye, we would call it. We see others doing things. We see things happening to us, whether real or imagined. And our attitude is usually a result of the movies that we have been playing in our heads. I want to say that again. Our attitude is usually a result of the movies that we have been playing in our heads, the pictures that we see, the things that have happened. Richard Dobbins said, we don't live by the facts. We live by what we tell ourselves about the facts. You can ask two or three people to repeat something that someone just said, and you may get three completely different inflections. You know, somebody said, let's go to, why don't you go to your room? And somebody else heard, go to your room. You know, two completely different inflections that we can project, right, on a situation based on how we saw it, how we perceived it. So I'm going to do a little exercise with you just to see how your minds are working. Everybody got your... Not that kind of exercise, a mental exercise, okay? Everybody's got mental. Everybody's got something up there, or you wouldn't be here. So we're going to practice just a little bit this seeing things. When we hear things, we give it pictures in our minds. For instance, if I started talking to you about a red bird, then I explained that the bird is red, but it does have some purple feathers. Now, this red bird with purple feathers has a really long beak, and it's also a fat beak. And this beak that is green is curved at the end. This particular bird has spiky yellow hair on top of its head. This bird is mostly seen on sunny days sitting on the end of a branch of a tall, tall tree. The tree is on the shore of an island in the Caribbean. And this bird loves to sing. And when the wind blows and ruffles the leaves of this tree, the bird is inspired to sing, and his song sounds like a whistle. So how many of you pictured like a red bird, you know, like just a little red bird, and then suddenly little purple feathers popped out on it? And then he's got a beak, and there was a beak, and then it's a long beak, but it's a fat beak too, and it's changing as I'm talking. Is everybody pretty much there? And then as the story goes on, you picture these different things. You picture the Caribbean. You picture a tree. And you might have pictured a little palm tree. It's on the branch of a tall, and the tree's growing as you're talking about it. It's a very fascinating process that we have to paint these pictures inside of our minds. Now, how many of you, when I said a song sounds like a whistle, you actually pictured a whistle? That's like a whole other level, you know, like a little whistle that you blow or around his neck or something. There are lots of different ways that we picture these things, and it has to do with experiences, things that we've seen. But it's a fascinating process that we have, and there is actually a mental dysfunction, anaphasia, something like that, where people do not see pictures with words. They would just see the word. I remember Brother Tommy talking about realizing at a certain age that everybody else, when they talked about the little red schoolhouse, he saw the words little red schoolhouse. He didn't see the color or anything in his mind. So they work with that and counsel them because it can create issues with relating to other people, with empathy, with a lot of interesting things. So the mind is an amazing tool that God has given us. And I've said this so many times. So often the church, religious people want to just throw it out, say it's at enmity with God, you can't trust it, just leave it alone, and you just got to learn to live from your spirit. I don't think you can do that, because that's part of the equipment that comes with the earth suit, which is what allows you to function in this realm. Now, what we have to do is what? Renew the mind. Renew your mind so it doesn't work against what God wants to do. Imagine if you actually thought good thoughts about those people that cut you off in traffic. Imagine if you could actually muster up some compassion for those people that give you that one finger wave when you go by because you honked a horn at them because they cut you off. It starts a whole process. By the time you get home, you're irritated, you're angry, and your spouse is like, what happened to you? I don't want to talk about it. Imagine if we could change those processes. It can be done. It just takes some effort. Take some effort, okay? People tend to think that they have no or very little control over what they think or see in their mind. Jesus tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. And yet, how do most people live? Troubled and anxious, right? Most people live troubled and anxious, but let's narrow it down. How does the body of Christ so often live? Troubled and anxious. Even though Jesus said, stop. Stop doing that. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. That's what the Amplified says. Stop. You stop it. You is the understood subject. You have the power. With every instruction that comes from the Word of God, from God Himself, comes the equipping to do it. Right? Just like Peter. Jesus said, come. In that word come was the equipping to defy the laws of gravity and water and everything else that they knew and walk on the water. With the instruction comes the equipping. So there is a way to live undisturbed, untroubled, unstressed, not anxious, not worried, not concerned. There is a way to live that way. And I really believe so much in what Miss Tina said about others are looking to us. It's just like, have you ever been on a flight and the pilot that flew to that place is riding the plane back to where he came from? So he comes out and sits in the, you know, with the rest of the folks, with the regular folks. And every time there's a bump, everybody looks at the pilot. You know, and if he starts looking worried, then, you know, it might be time to do something. But if he looks okay, if he's not bothered, he's still got his headphones in, he's still playing his game, reading his book, whatever, we're okay. The world is looking at us. The world is looking at us. And if we can show them, you know what, this is going to be all right. This is not the end of the world. COVID-19 is not going to wipe everybody out. They gain a measure of peace from us. And if we don't have it, where are they going to find it? So it goes beyond just for me and mine, just because I want to be happy and have a happy household and keep my blood pressure down and not grind up 20 years through the process of three just because I worried so much. But what about them? What about them? So God has given us remedy in His Word for these things and shown us how to use this process to our benefit. It is a very powerful process called visualization. Anybody familiar with that? Seen it in a lot of different realms. When I was working for the state of Texas, they sent us to a place where they taught us biofeedback because I worked for a Texas Workers' Compensation Commission where people who were injured on the job, we were the liaison between the attorneys and the insurance company to help them get their money. So pretty much by the time they called us, they were upset. They were not happy. I can't tell you how many days I went home crying because I got chewed out by somebody on the phone and I didn't know how to deal with it. I was very young at the time. And so they sent us, all of the people who dealt, you know, with directly with the public, they sent us to biofeedback. And a lot of that was about visualization, what you're seeing and what you're picturing. Now, you need to be careful. You don't want to get off into New Age weirdness. When you start imagining things that aren't real, that's called fantasy. That's called Disney. That's called TV making it okay for monsters to come in your children's bedroom. Careful, people. I understand it's cute, it's animated, it's funny. Monsters, Inc., we laughed, but somewhere at some point, somebody needs to understand this is not okay. This is not normal, because there is a ploy by the world to make what the enemy will conjure normal and okay. So we want to watch out for those things, but there is a spiritual application through God of the process of visualization. Visualization creates a pathway that you take mentally, and it prepares you for going there physically. A lot of famous athletes that are very successful use visualization. Tiger Woods, for one, it's the only one that comes to mind that I've heard him talk about it, where he actually visualizes the entire process of the approach, the swing, the follow-through, and everything before he steps up to the next hole or whatever you call it. I don't know golf that well. Tee, whatever. But he does visualize these things and visualizes it the way that it's supposed to be before he actually does it. I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound a little crazy, but you can look it up. There was a study done, I think it was in 2018, and they had two different groups of people, and I believe it was for 9 weeks. Now, I may have some of the details wrong, but it was for an extended period of time, two different groups. One of them went through a regimen of exercise daily. They had it listed out what they did. They worked out, okay? The other group visualized the workout, the entire workout, walking over to the dumbbells, picking out, you know, which weight, picking them up, going through the bicep curls, the tricep extensions, whatever it was that they did. They went through the whole thing for all of these weeks. Every single day, both groups did this. The one that actually exercised, physically did this, increased strength in the areas that they measured 53%. The ones who only visualized it, that did not actually do it, increased in the same areas of strength 35%. Now, the next thing that is interesting about that is that when this other group reached 53% and they quit working out, that was it. The other group quit visualizing, but they continued to increase for another 3 weeks, up to 40%. So the process that they began in their mind continued to work for them even when they weren't actually putting it into practice, because they created some, they would call them neural pathways, for the brain to work, and it actually changed the physical structure of their body. Okay, so this is not just a mind over matter. If I don't hear it, it won't bother me. This is actually changing things by what you think in the way that you think, what you allow yourself to think on, how you structure it, does things. You also know that when you think positive thoughts, you release certain chemicals into your body that are good. Dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, is that what it is? You release those things and you lower the cortisol in your body when you think positive thoughts. When you begin to think negatively, you release negative chemicals, one of which is cortisol. Stress releases those things in us because of the thought process. Those chemicals are released into our bodies. So there are so many people that worry so much about not putting chemicals in their body. I won't drink sodas. I won't eat meat. I'm going to go vegan. All of these things they want to do. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But do you realize that you can do all of that? And if you can't control the way that you think, you're still putting negative chemicals in your body. Okay? So there's more to it than just trying to eat right. There are some things that we need to rein in and to change. Now, there's something that they call target fixation, and I'm going to get to the word in just a few minutes, I promise. This is not just a good idea message, okay? There is something that experts call target fixation, and the place that you'll hear it mostly is when they're teaching you how to ride a motorcycle, because they say with the steering on a motorcycle, it is more attuned than a vehicle, a car. It's more attuned to what you're thinking in your body. It responds much more quickly and closely to what you do on a motorcycle. So they teach target fixation, which is where you look, you will go. If you start doing research on roadside crashes, people that are parked on the side of the road, people pulled over by the police, and people run into them, it's like, my goodness, it was a giant red van with a light on top of it, and you still hit it. You couldn't avoid that? But the thing is, what you're looking at is where you go. There's something about that what you see, you are drawn to it. It's like a gravitational pull. And it's proven in science that this is going to happen, what you look at. So if you don't want to hit it, don't look at it. They will tell you, look where you want to go. There's a lot more that could be said about that, but look it up, target fixation. It's pretty interesting. So we need to look where we want to go. And I would throw this out for parenting. Those of you with small children, medium children, large children, any children, neighbor's children, be positive when you talk to them. I hear so much, don't run, don't fight, don't cry, y'all be quiet, don't talk. Don't play in church. Don't. And you've given them a stop, but you haven't given them an alternative. And it always worked better for me. Instead of telling my kids, don't run, I would tell them, walk. And they immediately had something to shift to. I would say, happy. When my kids were little, we had the minivan. There are two of them in the car seat, and they're, she touched me. I'm like, happy babies. Mommy needs happy babies today. Let's be happy. And I would model it, and then I would tell them positively what to do. So when you're raising kids, don't tell them, y'all stop fighting. Say, get along. Say something positive. Give them something positive to rise to instead of the negative, because it affects us. It affects us so subtly, but it does affect us. So visualization creates these negative and these positive thoughts. What you're picturing is creating something that releases chemicals inside of you. So I want you to look at the Word of God with me, where God has used this and shown us what to do. And we're going to start in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. This is where the children of Israel were clipping along and they come up to the city of Jericho. Jericho was straitly shut up, verse 1 says, because of the children of Israel. They saw them coming. They saw what God had done for them. They had huge walls around the city, and they closed it up. They pulled up the gate or whatever that let people in and shut her up and said, we're not letting anybody in here. Nobody went out. Nobody came in. But the Lord said unto Joshua, And this is what I want you to grasp. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor." Before the process began, God gave Joshua a picture, having already given him the victory. He wanted Joshua to know that the outcome was already determined. And this picture helped eliminate the negative thoughts and the negative things that happen with them. So God wants you to see what he has promised you. There are many, many places in the Word. I'm not going to go through all of them. But where God said, "See this, see your victory. See, I have already given the enemy into your hands." I want you to see tonight, what is it that is coming against you? Is it something with your job? Is it fear? Is it worry? Are you concerned about a family member? Are you concerned about your future? Are you concerned about your 401k? Are you concerned about your kids going to college? Are you concerned about peace in your home? What is it that you are concerned about? And understand that there is a promise of God in his word where he has already made provision for the victory there. And when you submit that to him, then you have a choice of what you're going to look at in your head. Are you going to replay the problem, or are you going to play the answer? And that is the important thing to remember, is that we have a choice. We have a choice. If you can create a habit of checking yourself on everything and saying, "Do you have to be this way right now? Do you have to be grumpy? Do you have to be upset? Do you have to be irritable? Do you have to be worried? Do you have to have that feeling in the pit of your stomach?" If you know the word of God, which, looking at the group of people in this room, a majority of you do, there is no reason for those things. Because when we're grumpy and irritable, it's usually because of what we've been letting play. Like, you know how in YouTube, how you can set it on autoplay? And it'll just play one after the other, after the other, after the other. Well, have you set up your playlist ahead of time? Or are you letting the world choose what your autoplay is? Is the next one the news that you watched last night? And then the report that you heard on the radio? And then that thing that you read in the paper on the way to work? And those things just keep playing and playing and playing. And it creates a fear inside of you. You know, we need to have compassion on the people out there in the streets, the people that aren't in church. They don't have anybody telling them it's going to be okay. For a lot of different reasons, everybody's telling them, "You're going to die. You know, there's going to be an earthquake and you're going to die. There's going to be a hurricane and you're going to die. There's COVID-19 and you're going to die. You know, the Iranians, the terrorists are going to attack and you're going to die. It doesn't matter what's coming up, you're going to die." They're just going to tell you that. That is what they are hearing. They need us to speak life. Speak life. And you can't speak life when you're listening to the same thing on repeat that they're listening to. Stop. Turn the news off. "I need to be informed." You know what? I think you know as much as everybody else does, because it changes every day. We think we're listening to intelligence out there, right? Sometimes it's an agenda, and sometimes they really don't know and they're just making it up. The Spirit of the Lord will tell you what you need to know. There are places you can get news where they don't color it and spin it and add and embellish and give their opinion. So what we think about, what we see, is so important, because it determines our demeanor, it determines the health of our body, and it determines our ability to minister to somebody out there. You have a choice for what you think about. You have a choice. Stop the worry. Stop the frustration. Stop the concern. And see what God has said. Before the process ever began, God gave Joshua a picture. He said, "See, I have already given the enemy into your hand. Picture it. See it accomplished. When God wanted to bless Abraham, I know all of you remember this. He gave him a picture to remember. In Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and the south and the east and the west, and all the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever." And here's his picture. "I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted." Now there's a picture. The dust of the earth. One little handful. Who can count that? And yet he said the dust of the earth. That was a picture to hold on to. Something that he could see. He gave them the positive to see, so that when he looked around his house and he saw no heir, but there's dirt everywhere. And every time he would see a little pile of dust, "I'm going to have offspring. I know I'm going to have offspring. God told me. He showed it to me." And then he came to him again and another time. Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. "Then the word of the Lord came to Abram, 'This man,'" was talking about a servant in his household, "'this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' So he took him outside and he said, 'Look at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" He gave him a picture of what it was going to look like that he could hold on to, because he knew to see it is to be able to believe it, to visualize it. And when we look at Jehoshaphat, remember, and all of these kings had come against him, he wasn't sure what to do. He didn't have a scripture to go to and say, "God, you told me right here, this is what I need to do." He didn't have something that he could pull out and say, "God told me 3 weeks ago this was going to happen, so here." So what did he do? Did he look at the armies and tremble? Did he look outside of his window and worry and wonder? No, he looked directly to God. He said, "God, I don't know what to do with this one. I'm not sure what to settle my mind on with this one, but my eyes are on you." He still chose not to look at the problem to try to figure it out. Standing up there in that castle or whatever he was in, looking at all those armies, was not going to give him any great ideas. It was just going to put fear in his heart, right? Because as far as he could see, all the way around. But he said, "God, I'm looking to you." And when he looked to God, God told him what was going to happen. And he gave him a picture, and it was a strange picture. He said, "You're not going to have to fight." So, I'm thinking he's picturing himself and all of his soldiers out there, armed to the teeth with spears and swords. And he says, "You're not going to need to fight." And it's like, okay, so all of the swords and spears dissolve and they're just standing out there. So what are we going to do? He says, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." The salvation of God, Yeshuat Elohim. The Savior, the salvation sent from God. That's what you're going to see. Ooh, God is going to do this for me. And then he told him, "You're going to send praisers out." Well, that's an interesting weapon of choice there, God. But okay. So then he had a choice to do what God had shown him. And we know that he carried that out. And he was victorious. Amen? Once he looked to God, the prophet gave him a word, the how, when, and where of his victory. And the end result is that what he was assured of happened. And there his mind could rest. David said, the psalmist said in Psalms 121:1, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help." It was not about geography. It was not about looking up to a place over there or over there. It was about authority. The higher the place, the more authority. He said, "I am looking to the ultimate authority because that is where my help comes from." And if you're uncertain of what exactly to visualize or see, picture God in his heavens ruling over all with the host of heaven's army at your beck and call, waiting for you to speak his word. But whatever you do, don't keep playing the problem. Don't keep seeing the problem. Worrying is seeing a picture of the bad things that could happen. Faith is seeing what God said. When God gives us a word, it's a picture to hold on to. It's a picture to remember when what you see with your physical eyes reports something different. That's why it's important to record those words, to learn the Word of God and meditate it. Have you noticed that when God gives you a word and it sounds wonderful, I'm going to exalt you high above all the other kingdoms, and the next thing you know, you get squashed by the least of them. But God gave you a word in advance. Why? So he could laugh when that happened? No. So you would have a picture and know that's not the end of it, because I know how this thing ends, and I know I end up on top. So even though God gave me a glorious word yesterday and today it looks like I got knocked down, that's why he gave me that word, because knocked down is not where it ends. Where it ends, the end of the matter, is what he said. And you will be raised up and you will be exalted and you will be victorious and you will win if you don't quit. And quit comes from picturing the problem bigger than the answer in the Word of God. Amen. Just real quickly, I will sort of paraphrase. Remember when Elisha was up in the mountain and he had been telling the king of Israel the whereabouts of this other king and what they were doing? And the king said, well, how is it that they always know what we're doing? And somebody said, well, they've got a man of God in their midst and he sees it in the spirit and he tells them, like, well, we need to take this guy out. So they surround Elisha, and he's with his servant Gehazi on this mountain. And all of these armies surround him. And Gehazi looks outside, and he's like, man, we are in trouble. Elisha, have you seen this? Do you see what I see? And what did Elisha do? Did he say, God, take them all out right now with the fire of your presence? No. He just said, open the eyes of my servant that he would see that there are more with us than there are against us. And his eyes were opened, and suddenly he saw that those enemies were surrounded with angels, with the fire of God, with the presence of God. And he realized, oh, we're not in trouble like I thought we were. So that's why I believe we're encouraged in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul says, you know, I love you guys. I think about you often, and I pray for you that the eyes of your understanding, these eyes, would be flooded with light. The eyes of your heart, of your understanding, would be open so you can see hope, so you can see God's riches in you, his inheritance of everything, the power, the glory that is in you. So that we see those things more than we see what the world would bring against us. Amen? So praying for one another. I encourage you, the words that God has given you through ministers that we have in the body, in prayer time, be a good steward of those words, because those are pictures that God has given you personally to deal with the things that come against you. They need to be judged against the Word of God. Make sure that they are godly, because we can all miss it sometimes. But when you have that witness right here, oh, that was for me. You need to write it down and keep it before you. The scriptures that speak to you of what God is doing in your life, what he wants to do for you, where he's taking you, you need to keep it before you. Keep it before your eyes. Remember it. You know, God said several times in the Old Testament, he said it several different ways, I will write my word in your heart. Another place he said, I put my word in your spirit. And then he said, I will write it in your mind. God said that that is the covenant that he made with his people. I'm putting my word inside of you, because understand, it was the word that created the world, but the word came forth from what he saw in his spirit. So what you see is what will come out of your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart. What you meditate on, what you're thinking on, is going to come out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is going to create the world that you live in. So it's not enough just to try to say, well, I'm going to be careful with my words. If you get your heart right, you don't have to be careful with your words when you're trusting in the Lord. So how do you do that? You put the word in. You put the word in continually. You meditate on the word so that you can observe, see, to do everything that's written therein. So I want to pray for all of us right now that the eyes of our understanding would be open even wider, because I know that we're seeing some things, but I think there's more that God wants to show us through his word. So, Father, I thank you right now for your people. Father, everyone that's here, everyone that's listening through live stream or listening later, Father, we pray. I pray for your people that the eyes of our understanding would be opened. Father, that you would show us how, give us the divine ability to see ourselves as you have made us, victorious, overcomers. Father, the answer, the salt, the light, the life. Let us see hope, Father, the plans that you have for us that are good. Teach us to reorder our thoughts, Father, so that we live in a place of joy. Father, understanding that there is pain around us, but knowing that we have the answer. Father, your compassion flowing through us so that we are walking in light and life and able to minister it to everyone that is around us. Holy Spirit, teach us where we're letting those dark things in that would steal from us, whether it's from social media, TV that we're watching, magazines, books, things that we're reading, conversations, people that we need to spend less time with, wherever it's coming from, Father, show us how to root out the negativity, the fear, the darkness, the worry, the anxiety that the enemy would like to keep us bound in. And open our eyes so that we see the way up and over and through the lies of the enemy and into the truth, so that we see with the eyes of the Spirit how things really are, though it looks like there's not enough money to the end of the month. You said, I have given you everything that you need. So we see your truth, and that's what we live on, so that we can live without those knots in our stomach, without that concern and that worry of how is this going to work out. But we are truly, truthfully trusting in you with everything that is within us. Holy Spirit, teach us how to choose wisely what we put in so that what comes out is a blessing and glorifies you. Thank you, Father. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Praise God. Did you enjoy that? Yes. That was good. Good information. Good stuff. Now we need to allow the Word of God to just continually wash those movies that we watch. Yeah. I mean, in our mind, what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I mean. Praise God. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Stand with me. I want to say that there, for the praise team that's here, no rehearsal tomorrow. We're just not going to. Actually, Michelle's leaving town. She's leaving me. Actually, I'm taking her, but... I'm leaving her up with one of her high school friends that she hadn't seen in a long time. Well, it's not so much that. They just want to spend some time together. And so she won't be back until Monday. So pray for her and that she'll get some rest and have some fun. And everything will be good. Well, everything else is on cue, though. Prayer meeting on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Motorcycle riding all day Friday. Well, we'll see. Communion, Friday morning, 6:15 on Zoom. If you need the connection, all you people on up there, I'm not sure how you're gonna get it, but email Brother Rob. If you don't know his email address, call the office. Yeah, there we go. That's a good point. Praise God. Well, let me bless you. I say that you are blessed of the Lord. You are the children of the Most High God, and you are taught of the Lord. Therefore, great is your peace and undisturbed composure, and that you are surrounded daily with His favor, His divine favor, His grace, and His mercy, so that everywhere you go, you are the blessing of the Lord, that you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God. That when you show up, the anointing shows up. When you arrive on the scene, people look to you for hope, for joy, for peace, for comfort, for strength. And you supply because you have been blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. And I decree that everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. And the joy of the Lord exudes from you and is contagious to those around you. You bring light, you bring hope, you bring peace to every heart and life that you come in contact with. You are blessed. Go with God. We'll see you on Saturday night for prayer meeting and then church Sunday morning. You're dismissed.